The Mosquito Song by Sion Kuti and Egypt 80, ending today's edition of World Roots. It was presented by Rita Ray and produced by Sam Hickling. And the programme was first broadcast on Radio 3 in May last year.
BBC 4 discovers how great minds don't always think alike. Featuring the paleontologist Professor Jenny Clack.
It does sometimes do to think about things you take for granted. What if it's not this way, but it's the other way?
The Nobel physicist Professor Andre Geim.
To search for new phenomena, you have to stray from the trodden path.
And the evolutionary biologist Professor Richard Dawkins.
I try to emphasise that science is magical in the best sense.
Beautiful Minds, this Wednesday night at 9 on BBC 4.
Here on BBC Radio 3, there's Music Through the Night with Jonathan Swain from 11:30. But now, with the time at just after 11:10, Jazz Lineup with Claire Martin.
Hello. Inspired by rock grooves and jazz legends, Get the Blessing join us to talk about their new CD, OCDC, and you're hearing a bit of it now. Concert set this week is saxophonist Konrad Wisniewski and his quintet in an exclusive BBC session. All that on this week's Jazz Lineup. A slightly shorter programme this week, so full speed ahead with new discs, some classic recordings from 1995 to 2003 from composer and arranger Mike Gibbs with the NDR Big Band. The opening track sets the pace with guesting soloist Gary Burton on vibes and Stephen Diez on guitar. This is Gibbs' own tune, The Time Has Come.
Thank you.
The Time Has Come. That was the NDR Big Band featuring Gary Burton on vibes and Stephen Dietz on guitar, with Michael Gibbs directing the band on this, his own composition. It's a good album from Cuneiform Records as it charts Michael's tunes, as I mentioned, from 1995 to 2003, and features a number of the great British drummers, including Mark Mondaisi, Ian Thomas and Martin France. Definitely one to enjoy over and over again. Jazz Lineup have just recorded two concert sets at the annual Steinway Piano Festival held at the Pizza Express in Soho, London. You'll be hearing the first of those two sets in a couple of weeks' time. One of the duettists featured is pianist John Turville, and we check him out now from his current CD, Midas. This is his trio with Chris Hill on bass and Ben Reynolds on the drums, and this is the standard All or Nothing at All.
Thank you.
All or Nothing at All, with an interesting treatment of that tune from John Turvin on the piano with Chris Hill on bass and Ben Reynolds on drums. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3, online, on FM and on digital radio. Jazz across the BBC is in abundance, and we hook up with presenter in BBC Radio Norfolk, who presents every Saturday night from 11pm to 1am. I'm talking to Paul Barnes. Welcome to Jazz Lineup. Now, you go out over seven radio stations, don't you, Paul?
Indeed I do, yes. I'm in this lonely tower in Norfolk at the dead of night.
Oh, the dead of night. 11pm is not the dead of night.
Oh, well, come on. I've got to have a hard luck story in somewhere.
OK.
but I broadcast across Suffolk, Essex, Kent, Cambridgeshire, Northamptonshire and BBC Three Counties. And what I'm aiming to do is encircle London by stealth.
Very good. Well, you were awarded last year at the Westminster Parliamentary Jazz Awards. Tell us about that. What did you get?
Well, I got this rather fetching wooden shield with a portcullis on it and a little brass plate with my name on saying I was Jazz Broadcaster of the Year.
Fantastic.
And it hangs in a place of distinction in the hall of our house.
Lovely.
But alas, I'm about to lose my crown because I've not even been nominated this year.
Oh, well, you know, you can't do 2 years in a row.
I shall bow out gracefully.
Bow out gracefully. So who are you featuring in the coming weeks on your show? I mean, do you choose all your own music?
Indeed I do, yes. I exercise a form of musical tyranny. As in the old days of broadcasting, from the days of black and white radio, one of the things that I depend on is anniversaries. And birthdays and so forth. And I can tell you what's coming up. We've got Jerry Mulligan, Andre Previn, John Pizzarelli, Victor Feldman. You remember Victor Feldman?
Yes, yes.
For the first 30 years of his life, he was a child prodigy. And then suddenly, he grew up. And who else? Carmen McRae.
Oh, now, my favourite.
You like her,
favourite.
Don't you?
She's my absolute favourite,
She's
yes.
She's wonderful.
Great. And there's an anniversary for her, is there?
Indeed. On April the 8th, it's her birthday. She was born in 1922. As indeed, on that same day in 1908, was Yip Harburg.
Right.
Now, you must be familiar
yes,
with his
I am.
Great lyric.
Yes, I am. Well, thanks, Paul. And I look forward to meeting you at Jazz Kick somewhere soon.
Thanks, Claire.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Check Paul Barnes out on Saturday nights on BBC Radio Norfolk and all the surrounding areas from 11pm. And, of course, every Tuesday night on Radio 2, Jamie Cullum is on the air with his unique blend of jazz, old and new. OCDC is the title of the new CD from Get the Blessing, and I'm going to meet three of them after we hear the track from the new album, and it's the title track. This is Get the Blessing. Title track OCDC from Get the Blessing, and I'm joined by bassist Jim Barr, Pete Judge, who plays trumpet, and Jake McMurchie, who plays sax. Welcome to Jazz
Hello,
Lineup.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming in. So it's been 2 years since the second CD, Bugs in Amber. Was it 2 years where you've just been writing all this material, or have you been playing it in? It's quite a long time, two years. Jake?
I suppose so. The first couple of albums were done fairly quickly, to be honest. And this one, we did suffer slightly from difficult third album syndrome. So it was slightly harder to write things, and certainly felt a bit more weight of expectation, or a bit more pressure, I suppose. Certainly we wanted to make sure it was the quality was really good, that we wrote good tunes. But there was also, we would write some tunes and then we'd play them live, and then we'd kind of think, oh, we can do it better, and we'd record it and then we'd play it live and it would get better. So it kind of went round and round a bit before we finally felt we were happy with tunes. We've definitely learned a lot from playing tunes live, the way they evolve and the way you come up with new ideas in the in a gig situation, when it's it's more spontaneity rather than in a studio where you're worried about getting it right or wrong. So the pieces have definitely evolved over time and bits have been added in, and I think it's definitely helped us. And I certainly think it's ended up being a...
It's actually the sixth album, because we recorded it three times.
Well, you can record it three times, Jim, because you actually own a studio, so I guess that... Now, is that a help or a hindrance? I mean,
it's a help and a hindrance, because you can always go back and do it again.
Yeah.
Whereas if you've done it and paid for it, then you just go, well, that's it, it's done.
I guess. So where is your studio set up?
It's in Bristol, in central Bristol.
Okay.
In a big old factory building. It's good.
Very nice.
Does the job.
Now, you've been described yourself, Pete, as a group of sort of four control freaks. So how does the writer... I'm interested in how the writing process happens and how you manage
it tends to start... Somebody brings in a thing, an idea, whether it's just a tune and a bass line or a couple of chords or something. Usually each track starts with one person bringing in a kind of the skeleton of it, and then we kick it around. And sometimes it gets kicked around a hell of a lot. There's at least one track on this album that's been being kicked around for quite a few years.
Aww.
But it's kind of survived. Yeah, it's looking a bit scuffed around the edges, but actually it's in better shape than it was a few years ago. And then there's other things that come together quite quickly. So it is a band, this band, and so we all get writing credits.
Oh, that's good.
On every track.
And any bickering involved?
Bickering
and tears.
Only about whether you put the milk in the tea before you put the tea in, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Scorch the beans.
Yes, scorch the coffee beans.
And also, I guess the 2 years, because you're all busy. Your drummer at the moment is actually away with you call it the other band. We talk about the other band, Radiohead.
Yeah.
So I guess if you're all busy doing other things, getting together somehow. So this album's got less overdubbing than the last two. Was that sort of on purpose?
True, I don't think it was on purpose. I think again, it comes back to the fact that the tunes have evolved through live playing, that actually we've worked out how to get the most out of the tunes themselves, I think. I mean, there was certainly, and I suppose we also really value the idea of single takes, if you see what I mean.
Yes,
you get it all in one go rather than adding bits on and splicing it together. And we always like to add things and to see if there's other things we can bring to it. But it's really great if you can get that spontaneity of a live performance. And because we played a lot of these tunes live, we knew how to do that in a way that meant you still ended up with a whole piece of music.
Brilliant. Well, let's hear another piece. This is the track The Waiting. Tell me a little bit about this track, Jim.
This is one of Pete's pieces. When we were recording it in the studio, we often try and refer things to a kind of filmic, make a filmic reference. And this tune is about driving late at night with the radio on down the autobahn at high speed with not much going on outside the car. A lot going on inside the car.
Let's hear The Waiting.
Thank you.
from the new album OCDC from Get the Blessing. That was the track, The Waiting. So, guys, let's talk about your jazz influences and who inspired you in jazz, because OCDC also stands for Ornette Coleman and Don Cherry. So I'm guessing, you know, you're often referred to as having them as major influences.
That was how we started. Yeah, we famously bang on every time anybody asks us how we started about the fact that we used to meet up in Jim's studio, which used to be a basement studio, on a Friday morning, and we'd play Ornette Coleman tunes because we love that the sound of that, the late 1950s quartet, mm-hmm. and just the sound of it and the tunes themselves were just great. Starting point, just the spareness of it, not having a chordal instrument in, and just the swing of it, I suppose, for want of a better word, even when it's at its most abstract.
It's also there's a kind of rawness to that sound that we've always really aspired to, even though the music we do now doesn't really sound like that, and we don't approach it in the way that he did, I don't think, but. There's that rawness that all of them have. There's an edge to everything they do where they're just pushing it. The sound of the instrument, never mind musical boundaries, and that's definitely something we try and aspire to.
Mm. And there's always a twist as well. There's always a twist in his tunes. There's always something happens where you weren't expecting it.
So the new label for this third album, with Name Jazz now.
Yeah, yeah.
And plenty of energy coming from them and really lots of great artists on that label.
Yeah.
Who is your audience now? Who are you aiming for? I mean, you've got, you know, jazz press on your side. Do you have a crossover audience, lots of Radiohead people coming in? Jake?
A little bit, yeah. I think they're definitely, you know, we're definitely, I'm sure we would all say that we're influenced by them to some extent as well. And, you know, and that if you listen to our iPods or the iPods of the people who are listening to us, it would cover a huge spectrum of different types of music. And I think you can hear that in all.
Do you think Radiohead are fans of yours, though?
Well, we do get sneak hints, don't we?
Because I asked Brad Meldow if they'd got in touch with him after he'd done so many great versions of their, and he said no, he hasn't had a word from Tommy York, you know. So you wonder, don't you, when you do sort of?
You do. Well, you have a man on the ground, so
So the tour is taking. I think you've got Ronnie Scott's coming up.
Yeah, next week.
And where does the tour lead after that?
And the really exciting news is that we're going to be doing a tour in North America as well. We've got a string of dates lined up in America as well as some festivals in Canada. So
very good.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And I know not many UK groups get the chance to go over and do that. So
I liked what you said about actually flying the flag for Britain, realising that British musicians that go abroad really set the bar high and that you're really aware of that and you want to live up to all the sort of, the expectation of going abroad. You're right, it's not often that British bands go that far. So.
No, but I mean, certainly our experience is that certainly in Europe, and I sort of brief sojourn to the States a couple of years ago, they really like, they really value and really like English music, especially in the jazz world. And I think the UK jazz scene has got something pretty special. There's lots of really interesting bands and lots of great musicians that, and of course, you know, America is the home of jazz, etc. But I think what's happening over here is different. And well, we're very lucky and privileged to be part of that.
Mm. Well, Americans are quite quick to say, oh, yeah, it's great, because it sounds so different. It sounds so British, you know. It's
Hey, you guys sound British. Yeah. That one.
Are you from Australia?
Yeah. Do you change your performance when you're in America, or do you put the same show on?
I don't think we do change. I think what we do is kind of... It's kind of what we do. I mean, with the tunes we play and the way we approach them, we spent a long time developing what we do. You know, not sometimes with conscious effort, and sometimes it's just the combination of the individuals involved. So, but there are certain aspects that are quite important for us to get across. You know, there should be humour involved. There should be light and shade. You know, some of it's very serious, but some of it's got an edge of, punk flippancy about it as well, which I think is important. And I don't think we accentuate any of those things in other countries, but I think they perhaps come across, certainly in Europe.
We do change what we do by venue, though. So if we turn up somewhere and it's obviously normally like a kind of rocky, dancey, experimentally kind of club with lots of younger people in, we don't do the jazzy, so the really
That's
quiet stuff, we kind of point it more towards what
you read the room.
Yeah, read the room. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if it's a room that is very ambient, we don't play. So we play quieter. You know, those kinds of things. So we do tailor it a bit, but we don't change what we what we
play. But I think that's an important part of performance, isn't it? And every performer does it to a certain extent. And,
of course.
And one of the things I think we feel proud about what we do is there's quite a lot of diversity within what our set of music. And so we have the ability to actually tailor it quite a lot in that sense. And so we do a church, and it's not all rock and roll, and we do a church.
Well, it's a great album. It's your third album, and we wish you all the best with your tour. We'll go out on a track. Now, I did pronounce this Torquay. I'm a little bit embarrassed because I glanced, but it's Talk. Tell us quickly about this track, Jim.
This is another one of Pete's, an amazing bit of tune writing, and it's about car parts.
So let's play Talk. Guys, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Pleasure to.
That was Talk from OCDC, the new CD from Get the Blessing. And our thanks to Jim Barr, Pete Judge and Jake McMurtry for coming in and talking about their tour. And congratulations on their successful launch at Ronnie Scott's. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin. Our concert set this week features the Konrad Wisniewski Quintet. The set you're about to hear is taken from a live broadcast as part of the European Broadcasting Union jazz season towards the end of last year. My colleague Kevin Legendre on that broadcast commented, "It's a small band with big ideas." Certainly Konrad is a much in demand player as he holds a seat in the Scottish National Jazz Orchestra and is the tenor saxophonist in Brass Jaw, one of the hottest units around, as well as in his own bands. Next month he launches his own album with strings, but it's his quintet we focus on tonight. The set is co-written by himself and his pianist Ewan Stevenson, and they both draw on the music from situations or people. The band are Ewan Stevenson on piano, Andrew Sharkey on bass, Doug Huff on drums, and Konrad Wisniewski on saxophone.
Thank you. much. Thank you. That was a piece called Jajo. That's going back to my, I guess, kind of international theme, Polish roots. Wisniewski's not exactly a well-known Glasgow name. Oh, I don't know, maybe now it is. I'd like to continue now. It's another tune of my own, and it's called Nicola's Piece.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Nicholas Peace. I'd like to continue now with a tune by a very fine pianist, Mr. Ewan Stevenson. And this is actually a suite of compositions. The first one's called Music for a Northern Mining Town, and then that's followed by Leonard's Lament.
Thank you.
Thank you. Warren Kelsey on trumpet. Doug Huff on drums. Andy Sharkey on double bass. Ian Stevenson on piano. Thank you. Just going to finish off with one more tune by Ewan. We're going to leave you with a lovely tune called Parson's Green.
That was the Comrade Wisniewski Quintet. Ewan Stevenson played the piano, Andrew Sharkey on bass, Doug Huff on the drums, and of course on the saxophone, Comrade Wisniewski. That was recorded last September at the BBC Studios in Pacific Quay in Glasgow and originally broadcast on the EBU, the European Broadcasting Network. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3. Two, Not One is the latest from British saxophonist Martin Speake, and Jazz Lineup stage him at the King's Place in London on Saturday the 21st of April. This is from the album with just Martin on reeds and Colin Oxley on guitar. The composition is written by them both and it's called Coleman Hawkins. Martin Speake on saxophone and Colin Oxley on guitar on that fresh new album, Two Not One, which is out on Pumpkin Records. And Martin will be playing tracks from the disc at a Jazz Lineup recording at King's Place in London on Saturday the 21st of April. And don't forget, Jazz Lineup and myself will be at the Perth Concert Hall on Friday the 27th of April with the BBC Big Band conducted by Barry Forgy. And I'm delighted to say I'll be joined by a very special guest, Nigel Hitchcock, on alto sax. And more details of how to get your tickets for that are on our webpage via the BBC Radio 3 homepage. Well, to end today, pianist Jonathan G and his trio from his recent release, Dragonfly. Ivan Hewitt in The Telegraph commented that G shows a debt to Thelonious Monk in the compressed energy of his ideas. The album was recorded in Brooklyn and his trio are Joseph Lepore on double bass and Nasheet Waits joining them on drums. All the compositions on the CD except for one Monk track are originals, so let's hear Jonathan's own tune, Tortadilla. Tortadilla, performed and composed by Jonathan G, with Joseph Lepore on double bass and Nasheet Waits on drums. And that's from his current album, Dragonfly. And you can catch him on the 22nd of April at the National Centre for Early Music in York in a duo setting with bassist Larry Bartley. Well, that's it for this week. Join me next week for trumpeter Thomas Stanko in concert. And check out Jazz on 3 tomorrow night featuring bassist Matana Roberts. Till next week, from me, Claire Martin. Bye-bye.
Hello and welcome to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night with me, Jonathan Swain. A Swedish succession for this first hour. A performance of Berwald's masterpiece, the Symphonie Singulière. And right now, music by the man who is in many ways Berwald's musical heir, Wilhelm Steinhammer. And given Steinhammer's renowned keyboard prowess, it's surprising he wrote as little as he did for the piano. Part of the reason was probably his concentration on conducting in the early years of the 20th century. This is his second piano concerto, a piece with a few nods to Saint-Saëns. And, like the Berwald, to Mendelssohn as well. The pianist is Niklas Sivelöv with the Malmö Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Andrew Grams.